everyone. I'm Claire, and I'll be reading the Bible for us tonight. Tonight's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21. I'll give you a moment to find it in your Bibles, but it will also be above the on the screen above me. So it's Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Here ends the reading.
Hey, welcome to church. So good to have you here. My name is Miles. I'm one of the ministers here at St. James. Now, tonight, we're looking at that reading that we just had, and we're looking through it, and what you'll notice in there is there's a whole bunch about hearing and understanding, and a whole bunch that doesn't make sense as you hear and understand. So why don't I pray, and then we'll get in. Father, we give you great thanks that you are not a God that is hidden, but a God that has revealed himself to us, that we might know you truly and see you and experience you as you have revealed yourself to be. Give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, hearing and understanding. We all know this experience of sometimes you hear something and you miss the understanding or you miss the meaning of what's going on in that situation. One example of this for me is I remember chatting with one of my kids when they were younger, and they were getting quite angry and riled up. They're kind of getting the red in the face look and getting really upset. Rather than being the patient, thoughtful parent, I responded with these words: "Calm your farm." Helpful saying. Keep that on for later. To which they responded back very quick-wittedly: "I don't have a farm." Right response, child. Now, they had heard but not understood what I was saying. And more importantly, I had not actually heard what they were saying, nor had I understood them. I merely was just playing down their emotions and just telling them to calm, when actually they had a serious concern. I was hearing the noise. I was hearing the words, but I wasn't understanding what was actually going on. Hearing and understanding God as he speaks to us is in that realm. And in this passage, Jesus gives us three little short stories that help us understand what it means to both hear and understand. Here are the 3 points for tonight. One, the seed that grows. Two, the light that reveals. And three, the act or the family habits in practice. First of all, the seed that grows. Jesus is traveling around from town to town with his crew of men and women. There's quite a tribe that gathers around with him now. He's getting more and more famous, so the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And there's this parable that he teaches, and it's likely that he told this more than once. We've got one record in this particular record of Jesus' teaching. There's another one in Mark, another one in Matthew. And it's likely that he told this more than once. And it's an agricultural image, which is far removed from us. We're not farmers, we don't get this. But it's an imagery of what it means to sow seeds. Now, a farmer, rather than they're going out in the field and like individually digging a little hole and placing one seed inside, a farmer would go out in the field and would cast seed around, right? And so it would be thrown up in the air and it would land in a variety of places. And then the list of places determines the outcome. So some of the lands on the path and the farmer walks on in between the lanes of where he's sowing. The ground is harder, so the seed doesn't sink in, it doesn't get into the earth. So it's trampled by the farmer himself or by a bird nearby. And some falls on the rocky ground, and the rocky ground, it's not like the rocks are just sitting above, it's just that the ground hasn't been tilled properly by the farmer. And so what it is the rocks might just be just below the surface of the soil. And so the plant will still grow, but its roots will be so shallow that it'll be fragile and it'll be cast aside by anything that comes next. And some will be sown among the thorns. And with this, the thorns and the seed grow at the same time. And so they're competing for resources. You can see it really clearly in this picture. See, they're both growing. You can see the plant. It's like hidden in there. It's growing at the same time as the thorns. But its growth is stunted. It doesn't produce what the seed is meant to produce. It's hidden. Its growth and its ability to be what it was meant to be is stunted because it's competing with the resources of the thorns, of sunlight, of moisture, of nutrients in the ground. And last of all, the good soil, where all is well and produces 100-fold what is sown. And then importantly, the most important line that Jesus says in this moment is the next one. When he said, when he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is an incredibly confusing line. This is kind of the end of his sermon. This is when he says, "I'm done." And it raises a whole bunch of questions. What do you mean? Everyone has ears unless the ears have been chopped off. Unless there's a crowd full of people that are all of a sudden deaf and now can now hear. Everyone has ears. What does it mean to have ears that hear? Jesus is provoking a response, trying to get something out of the people that are there. He's setting up something here, and particularly the disciples, well, they bite, right? They get it. They don't understand the story. They've heard it a few times. They don't know what's going on, and so they bite. They know that his job is more than just to give agricultural advice, and so they go, what's going on here? They ask for an explanation. And Jesus responds, and in his response, he reveals a whole bunch about the nature of his mission and what the people are like there. He quotes from Isaiah 6. Now, Isaiah is a book from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. It's Isaiah 6 where he is commissioned, and he's commissioned to proclaim to the people of God. The fascinating thing about Isaiah is when he's given his job description, when he's given his commissioning to do what he's going out to do, what he finds is that God tells him how it's going to go. God says to him, it's going to go really, really badly. No one's going to listen to you. No one's going to respond. It's all going to go horribly. But God gives a reason for that. The reason is not one of biology. It won't be that they won't be able to hear the words that you say. nor is it one of intellect. It's not that the people are dumb and they can't understand. It's not this is so complicated that they can't comprehend it in their minds. No, not biology, not intellect, but actually the state of their hearts. It says that their hearts will be calloused. But the nature of their spiritual state will affect their ability to hear and see. They'll be hearing, they'll be able to hear, and see but not see. The core thing is, of the lack of understanding is, the very spiritual state of their hearts. So you can hear the combination of wind moving through vocal cords and the shape of someone's lips to produce an audible sound that pulls together in our minds as words. But it's not merely hearing the noise, but the state of someone's relationship in which you hear what is behind the words, when you hear the truth. We know this experience in small ways. You have it all the time. You've all been in that conversation with another person where they are talking, and you're hearing the words, but you are not listening. Whether out of a lack of interest in that person, or a lack of respect, or your own mental state, or distraction, or lack of interest in the topic they're talking about, or something big happened that day. I was at a wedding the other day, and I was talking to this guy, and he was talking about how night shifts work, and I was so bored. I was hearing, I can tell you about night shifts, but I was not listening. I had no real concern for what was actually going on. You can hear, but not be listening. When it comes to God's word, it's not simply about what they hear, but how they receive it. It's not simply about what they hear, but how they receive it. Jesus goes on and he explains the story of the seeds being sown. And as Jesus explains it, you get this idea that this isn't just like made up stories. These are stories that capture real people. Either in the history of God or in his pastoral experience of people, he really knows these stories. He can give a name to these stories. And so he works through them. The seed that is sown is the word of God. And some hear it, but it does not get a chance to take root. They hear it, though. The devil takes it away so they don't believe. It's captured by the spiritual enemy involved, blocking their engagement with God's word. They hear, but there's no belief. And then, when it lands in the rocky soil, they hear and they believe, and they believe with great joy and their very fervent belief. But then what happens is, testing comes. Life happens. That when living in God's word interacts with the realities of life, when it costs something dear, then it's easily removed, like a weed. See, the roots are shallow. It has no depth in their lives. And so when real pressure happens in life, their faith just wipes away. Well, this image really sits with me when I think about a big part of my job is discipling the young ministries at our church. And it makes me think about young people that are in the room, all of you guys. I just think that we're not seeking to entertain you or create a space for you to kind of have nice friendships. We're creating a space for you to have the word of God dwell in you deeply, to have deep roots so that when real life happens, when the real realities of life happens, you're not like a weed that's just kind of brushed aside by the wind. No, you have a resilient faith. The outcome for those who have the word of God planted in the rocky soil is they stop following. There's no root to give them strength. There's nothing to hold on to. And they fall away. And third, the thorns. These guys, they hear and believe. Yet life, again, gets in the way of hearing, but it's in a different way to the rocky soil. It's both positive and negative. It's worries and riches and pleasures. It's worries and riches and pleasures. It stunts their growth. They don't mature. This is a fascinating one because it has both the experience of difficult things and, well, what we would say are wonderful things. That hearing the word of God is competing with other noise. There's things blocking the ability for a person to grow. The noise of wanting this or fearing this or having this or seeking this. worries, riches, and pleasures. It's fascinating, they still believe, but they don't mature in any way. They become baby adult followers. Not growing, not persevering, not being a part of God's purposes. Not falling away either. They're not producing anything. They have some sort of stuck state. And last of all, the good soil. There's multiple steps that go on for the good soil. There's hearing and believing and retaining and persevering to produce a crop. The extra steps that the word is retained, that it burrows deep down into the soil, deep down to the hearts of those who receive it. It grows deep roots so it's protected. It grows without competing with the other noise, with the other resources. The seed does what it's meant to do. It flourishes and produces a hundredfold. It's fascinating that 3 out of 4 don't produce the goal of the seed. 3 out of 4 don't work. But importantly, they all hear. But it's what happens with what they hear that is important. Now, I think this is descriptive rather than prescriptive. By that, I mean, you don't go away, walk out of the room and go, I'm going to be like the good soil tonight and try and work out how to do that. That's not what it's describing. I think Jesus is describing the reality of life and the reality of God's word spreading out. You see this. This is a documentary, a description moment of what happens when it goes out. It's not saying don't be these or be this one. It's just describing what actually happens. But Jesus doesn't stop there. The sermon continues. And as he goes, he gives us 2 other little stories that really give us our response to God's word and our understanding of it. The first one is this. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar and puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Here's the important line. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. It's very important words in there, right? It's not, therefore, consider carefully what you listen to. Or, therefore, consider carefully what information you hear. Let's consider carefully how you listen. There's the nature of listening is important. Your attitude as you listen is important. The word of God is not to be hidden, but it's to be brought out. It's not to hide it, but it's to reveal things. The word of God is a light that reveals the truth. It describes listening to the word of God as not just information that is separate from us, that we just kind of hold out here, that you go, oh, that was interesting in church tonight, how good was that? But that the word is meant to impact our lives and reveal us to us. We might see ourselves more clearly and see our world more clearly. When I was a kid, I used to go work with my dad when you do work experience, partly because I was too lazy to do any other jobs, so I did go do work experience with him. And my dad was a boat surveyor. Now, a boat surveyor, what they do is they go look at boats and they'll do the insurance jobs on boats. And so they'll go out and say, how much is this boat worth? How much should you buy? How much should you pay for this boat? Or people get him along to say, how much would you pay to buy this boat? And it's fascinating because I got to see these boats. They're absolutely incredible. These are like $100,000 boats, $150,000 boats. I got to meet a couple of celebrities. That was pretty exciting. But it was fascinating. So we'd go and we'd look at these boats. And my dad, when we get to the boats, he'd pull me aside and he'd say, I need you to go down into the bilge. And that's a bad-sounding word, and it's a bad place. The bilge I worked at was just the worst part of the boat that you could find. It was the darkest part. It was deep, always in the deepest part of the boat. And what he would do is, and it's because I'd work with him like a couple times a year, so every other time he had to do it himself. So when I'm there, he's like, clearly he's going to use me to do this job. I would go down there and it'd be pitch black, because obviously boats need to be like sealed so water doesn't come in, pitch black. You're going in there and you'd climb around an engine or you'd go through this small portal. And I've never been a small human, so this was already an issue for me. So I'm squeezing in there and I'm sliding around. And you get in there into these boats that they look amazing on the outside. These $100,000 boats. You just think, this is incredible. And you get into the furthest place that no, you didn't think anyone could get to this place, but you get there, and Dad would say, "Here's a torch, tell me what you see." And I kid you not, 4 times out of 10, it was really high. When you get into that spot, I would find things like that the boat was actually had rotting wood on the inside, or that there was rusty pipes everywhere, or that there was key structural faults in the hull of the boat. And that we would go back to the owners and say, "You'll pay $100,000 for this boat today, but you'll pay $40,000 for this boat in about 8 months' time when you need to do the repairs on it." But it was only when the light got in, right? When the light revealed. On the outside, these things are amazing. They're beautiful. I have no hope of ever owning one in my entire life. But when you got in there, into the deepest places, you saw the brokenness and the danger and the ability for this thing to fall apart. See, the Word of God is a light, and it reveals the things that are hidden. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. You can listen to the words of God and hold it at absolute arm's length. It can be information that's good to know, just helpful info, like the advertising you get in your mailbox. But it's good to know when you might need a plumber, but you don't need a plumber, so you'll throw that thing in the bin. What the Word of God does is it reveals the hidden things in us. It reveals us to us. As we read of Jesus' actions, they shine a light on our actions. As we read of his desires and motivations, they shine a light on our desires and motivations. As we see the one who lived without sin, we see where sin arises in our lives. The Word of God brings what is hidden in us out to the open, that we might see it and therefore be changed. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. And the second story Jesus uses is this one, where his family comes to visit him. Now, he's preaching in this big crowd, and his family can't get in, his mother and his brothers. They come to see him, but they're not able to get in. And so they send in a little messenger. The messenger goes in and says, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." Now, Jesus, you know, he tends to use all moments possible for teaching moments, and he doesn't let up on this one. What seems like, I think it sounds a bit rude initially. You're like, no, you go talk to your mum. That's when your mum comes to visit, you go talk to your mum. But he uses it for a teaching moment to invite everyone there into something else. He says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." The word is not something that is merely heard and held, but is something that is heard and responded to. That the family of God, those who are God's people, don't just hear the word and go, "This is wonderful information," but they respond to God's word. One of the brothers that was there and would have heard this from Jesus goes on to be a leader in the church, and he writes a book that is held in the New Testament, the book of James. And you can't help but hear exactly Jesus' words in his words in James. James 1, 22 and onwards. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." The word is not something that we just hold. It's something that we hear, understand, and respond to. This takes effort. It takes effort, it takes purpose, it takes thoughtfulness, it takes intention. Most of all, it just takes a response. We all know how to hear and ignore. We all learn this fairly quickly. We all know that there are moments when our parents will ask us to do stuff and we will ignore their requests. "Can you take out the rubbish, dear child?" "Yep," which actually meant no. Or, "Can you clean your room, dear loved one?" "Yep," which actually meant, "Yes, in the next 40 years, I will likely clean this room at some point." It's easy to ignore. It takes low effort. For those who are followers of Jesus, the words of God are not useful facts that will pull out someday at some weird trivia event. They are words to hear and respond to. The words of God reveal us to us, and the words of God invite us to respond. As a church, over the last little while, I've been working out what it means to grow as believers. And we've come up with these things here, these four kind of action points: to dwell in God, to love one another, to serve generously, to represent Christ. This one tonight really speaks to dwelling in God, which has the key action of devotional life. Devotional life being engaging with God's word as he has spoken it to us. There's really questions: what's our heart attitude as we come before God's word? What are we seeing as we do it? Are we mindful of how we are listening to God's word? Here's three questions that I use when I read the Bible to get a good sense, to make sure I'm checking, using God's word as it's intended to be used. Who is God revealed to be in these words? What is revealed about me in these words? And how am I to respond to these words? So that God's word reveals the truth of me, and I'm invited to respond rightly, so that I might be a story of the good soil. You know, as we do this, we will totally do it imperfectly. We're muddling our way through. We're all making this up as we go along. We're trying to work it out. We're trying to see what next steps are. And as we walk forward as Christians, there'll be moments where we make mistakes. There's moments where we mishear. There's moments where we misunderstand. There's moments when we have wrong motivations and the motivations get revealed. And as our sin is revealed by the word of God, our light, we can hear and respond to the word of God, repentance and forgiveness from our Lord Jesus. You see, because Jesus fulfills all that is here. For in Jesus, we have the true human who heard and understood. We have the one who spoke the very words of God. Jesus is the one who hears, retains, perseveres, even to the cross to produce 100-fold. He did not hide, but lived a life of light that revealed the hidden things in the world around him, who heard the word, put it into practice, lived in obedience to the promises of God, who fulfilled the word through his life, death, and resurrection. Who heard and responded, even when that response meant, well, the cost of his life. But that cost was paid so that we would have the opportunity to hear and understand. That he would speak the light to us and reveal us to us. And he would invite us to hear, understand, and respond, as he has gone before us and already done. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Let me pray. Father, may your seed, the word of God, dwell in us. May it grow in us. May it reveal us to us, and may it help us to respond to you. Father, thank you that you revealed yourself. There is no hiddenness here. There's an opportunity to see ourselves as we truly are and to receive your love towards us and respond rightly. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's word isn't just something we hear and hold on to. As Miles said, it's something